This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
Well, welcome to this Wednesday night here in Fresno, and we're at the hottest spot in town, the patio of the Elbow Room in Pig Garden Village. The fireplace still going in the corner. Some of the Red Wavers are here. Timeout Club, loud and proud out here tonight. We have Coach Justin Hutson of your Bulldog basketball team. There was some great energy in the arena last night at the Save Mart Center. The highest, I guess it came over here too, to the Elbow Room. The highest ranked team ever to play in that arena, and the Bulldogs gave them a battle, but San Diego State was able to prevail 64-55. And now the Dogs have some high elevation road games ahead. Three of the next four will be on the front range of the Rockies, at Wyoming, at Colorado State, at Air Force. But in that mix is one home game, and I want to get this out here right out of the gate, because your next chance to catch the Bulldogs at home is Saturday, January 25th. Their one and only meeting with the big bad Boise State Broncos this year. I mean, is there a color scheme that Bulldog fans love to hate more than that orange and blue of Boise State? I don't know, but the Broncos will be here. No? Okay. Broncos will be here January 25th. More importantly, it's Heroes Night at the Save Mart Center. I'll tell you what that means in just a little bit. Coach Justin Hutson with us now. And, Coach, I know how consuming this can be, how invested you are in your players, in this program, in making this program great, in making the Valley proud, in putting wins on the board. And I know how challenging this season has been. Let's just talk about last night. What did you see from your team last night? The good, the bad, what did you learn about where you guys are and where you hope to go?
I thought our character was still there. I thought we competed hard, played together. I thought we fought. I thought we defended well. Probably defended them best. The first two times we played them, the best they've been defended. And we can't score. You know, we get against really good teams that make you get to the second action or the second side, where you have to flow and they take away your first look, or they help, or they scout something. You got to be able to flow into the second side. I thought we were better than we were down there, and some of that was personnel based because we had more guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think we flowed quite as much as well as we needed to. And I think Noah and Nate got us continue to get healthy.
And that was noticeable. Noah and Nate, two of the Bulldog seniors, Noah Blackwell and Nate Grimes. Yes, last night was Noah's first game back. He's missed 10 games already this year, and he'd been out for a month with the knee injury. And, you know, you never want to make excuses, and that's not what I'm doing. But it seemed, just to be an objective observer, that he probably needs a game or two to catch back up to the speed of things or the pace or the feel. That there were a couple moments where he thought he could do something that in actuality and physical execution he couldn't get done in the moment. Am I overanalyzing that scenario?
That's accurate. Like, it's no excuses. We don't have any excuses for losing the game or not winning the game. You're coming into every game trying to win. I thought we had a chance to win. We could make some plays, but they made them. And it, hats off to them being 18-0. I remember, you know, Malachi coming behind Orlando and stealing that ball in the post when it was an 8-point game. And it's a great play. You call a timeout and say you got to communicate, you got to see it, but it was a great play. And they made the plays they needed to make to keep the distance. But that's why we've always said February, because we knew we needed, you know, everybody's had a chance to play this year. You know, you don't look on our team and say, well, he didn't get a chance, he didn't get a chance. That we've had some injuries, you know. Niven just came back from his injury, and it was actually the day before the game was his first day being around us.
Right.
You know, Aguirre is back out now, and so you've seen just about everybody. So when we said February, we said we knew it was going to take a while for Noah to get back. He wasn't going to come in the first game and play great. We knew Jordan Campbell wasn't going to play his first two games and be great.
Right.
We knew Nate hurt his wrist, and he couldn't even shoot much in Albuquerque. Now he's able to shoot, and he's going to get better. So we understood those things. So just because we put everybody out on the floor doesn't mean they're going to gel or play great together, but it also doesn't mean that we're not coming out and preparing to win and trying to get the ball where we're supposed to get it and defend hard.
It was the Aztecs last night. Now the Bulldogs play the next three out of four on the road, but that one home game will be January 25th. That's a week from Saturday against Boise State. And we're giving away some tickets for that game here tonight at the Elbow Room. So if you hustle on over and you can elbow your way into a seat out here on the patio, then you might be taking a pair of tickets home tonight. Again, that's Heroes Night, January 25th. We'll talk more about that Heroes factor in a little bit. So a few parts of that game that I want to hit on. One, you said, you know, you had more guys. And you had more guys available, but you didn't play more guys. You actually went to a shorter rotation. Was that more about the matchup and how good your opponent was that you needed the experience of a Noah Blackwell, or you needed those guys who've had a little more time to get consistent out there on the floor? Or what went into that to play just two guys off the bench?
That was our top seven at the time, to tell you the truth. So we were going to play 8 and 9 if we really needed it. And, I don't see us always just playing 7, especially as Niven gets healthy, AG gets healthy.
Right.
We like to play more guys. Matchups always come into play when you're playing guys off the bench. But that was our 7 that we plan on rolling with a little bit. And we were gauging how tired we were. We were gauging matchups. We were gauging who was going well. And, I've told some of the guys, I've seen some mistakes from everybody.
Right.
I'm going to see some of Jordan's mistakes, and I'm going to see some of Noah's. That's just the bottom line. That's where we're at right now. I know that they've worked hard to get there. They work hard to be back. So we're going to watch. We're going to see if those guys can play as they get more minutes and they get more comfortable.
We're talking to Coach Justin Hutson. It's the Justin Hutson Show here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village, where we're here till 7 o'clock tonight, and that's when we're giving those tickets away. So you said something a minute ago about San Diego State being able to maintain the distance on the scoreboard. I want to talk to you about the point where that distance was created, because you guys, you led a good chunk of the first half. You're up 21-19. They tie it up. You get to that under 4 minute timeout, and you're tied at 21. And they score the last 5 points in the half and extend that run at the start of the second half. But I'm just wondering, in a situation like that, how much of that is just sheerly physical execution, and how much of that can be emotional because of some of the situations this team has found itself in this young season against a tough schedule, that when they get there, there's some emotional hurdle they're going to have to clear, that they're going to have to prove to themselves they can finish a half well before we see it happen consistently. Are you waiting for kind of a breakthrough in those moments that close a half?
I don't really think closing a half is a mental breakthrough. I think maybe if you were saying that as far as closing the end of the game,
right,
then I could buy that. You're up 8, end of the game, okay, are we going to finish this off? Okay, you're up 6, okay, tie game, are you going to finish this off? Where are we going to get the ball? But there was times I came to the radio show and we talked about we started the games back.
Right.
Right, so then, okay, well, you start the games back. Now the middle's back. Whatever. We're playing 5 freshmen. There's going to be some sessions where it's going to be bad. It's just a matter of where it's going to be. And I think at the end of the game, I think that would be valid to say, okay, hey, you've lost so many close games. Can you get over a hurdle and make the plays at the end and get the stops at the end, and who's going to take the shot and where is the ball going to go to? But I think end of half, start a game, stuff like that, I mean, you can go in the play design at the start of the game. Where are you going to get the ball? Mm-hmm. End of halves, who's in the game? But I think a lot of it's just guys have played better during that stretch.
Got a lot of questions coming in here from the folks here at the Elbow Room. We also have them firing our way on Twitter. If you're going to ask a question using Twitter, because you can't make it here to eat those awesome wedge salads that just came out, or the sliders, or there's a lot of good stuff around here. If you can't make it, you can still send those questions. But on Twitter, you have to attach that hashtag, AskHut, AskHut, H-U-T, and we'll pass it on to the coach. So let's pick one of these and get to it right now. And here comes another one. Thanks, Julia. I saw one here. She wanted to demonstrate the call that was made by the officials. So maybe we'll do that in a commercial break. I don't want to spend this hour talking about officiating, but there was one part of the game last night that I did want to touch on with you. I don't think any coach goes into a game expecting that there's only going to be 2 total free throws an entire first half. And that's what you dealt with last night. But And you tell me if I'm wrong. What I saw was there was a concerted effort for you guys to get the ball to Orlando Robinson to have him finish inside. And he did, with contact, but on a lot of those others, he received a lot of contact but didn't get rewarded, didn't get to the foul line. How big of an adjustment did you guys have to make, or how do you deal with that as it's happening when you realize, hey, a situation that in most games is going to get a guy at the line tonight for whatever reason isn't? When do you decide that you have to change course?
I think what I was happy with is we had a veteran crew, so they kind of let it go both ways, I guess. They weren't a crew that earlier in the year where it was all against us or all against the other team. They just weren't calling much. And I think I remember Randy McCall coming over, and he told me, well, Orlando's backing them down and taking space. And I said, well, if you don't let them push them 18 feet off the block, then he won't have to back the guy down and pay space. And he said, okay, touche. And it's like, but – they just decided to let him play, and it's a very veteran crew. And those veteran crews that are like that, you can't tell them much at all. And I didn't think the game was better. The few calls that go each way every game,
right,
that you say, wow, I wish we could have had that one back, but it kind of was what it was. Orlando sometimes is off balance because he's young. You know, he's like a big baby deer out there, right? And you push him, he's a little off balance. But as he gets stronger, when they push him there, I think they'll give him more calls.
Fair enough. Time for a break here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Coach Justin Hudson is here. We have tickets to the next Bulldog home game against Boise State. We also have some women's basketball tickets. The ladies are home this Saturday against Wyoming at 2 o'clock. Our next men's broadcast will be Saturday at 3 o'clock tip from Laramie, Bulldogs and Cowboys. If anybody wants some women's tickets, come see us right up here. We'll hand those out right now. Back after this at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village, the Coach Justin Hudson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Coach Justin Hudson Show. We're live at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village here till 7 o'clock tonight, and we have tickets to give away. The next Bulldog basketball home game is January 25th, the 5 o'clock tip against Boise State. That's Heroes Night. And what does Heroes Night mean? It means a special ticket price if you're one of those folks who put your life on the line for us. If you're in a fire department, a police department, you're a paramedic, or if you've ever served in our armed forces, you can get in for $5 on January 25th. It's that special Heroes ticket price on the 25th of January. That's a Saturday night at 5 o'clock, and that's your next opportunity for a Bulldog home game. We've got a lot of questions coming in here for the coach. The Dogs head to the Rocky Mountains. They'll be playing at the highest elevation Division I court in the country on Saturday at 3 o'clock tip against Wyoming, and we'll talk about that matchup in a moment. We've got a couple questions here about the newest Bulldog, as far as fans are concerned, the guy that they've seen debut most recently. In fact, last night was the first Save Mart Center game for Jordan Campbell, who's a redshirt freshman. That answers your question, Tim. He started his freshman year at Oregon State, played six games, transferred here. He's finishing it now. And Christy wants to know, what should Bulldog fans expect to see from Jordan Campbell? What are his strengths? They saw a few of those last night.
Yeah, getting to the basket. You know, he's dynamic getting to the basket. You know, he can pass better than he has been passing. He's an okay shooter, so he took a couple bad shots last night that we will stop, and he understands that. But he can really, as you saw, if he gets into the open floor, he makes it look real easy. And, you know, he hasn't played a real game in a while either, if you figure since his freshman year or since last year in the fall,
right,
is when he played. So, and he didn't play much at Oregon State. You know, and he was only a freshman. He wanted to come here. So, you know, his story is he signed with us at San Diego State. When I came here, he wanted to come here. You know, he went to Oregon State instead of coming here. We got him after semester. He should have been eligible six games ago.
Well, and I don't want to get, you know, off on a sidetrack for something that you can't change now because it is in the rearview mirror. But I think it's fair to point out that realistically, if last night he's playing his sixth game instead of his first home game, then maybe some of that fine-tuning would have already occurred and some of the mistakes would be minimized. Maybe. You never know.
He's not. By no means, again, are you making excuses. We can all, for every if, everybody else gets an if. But the bottom line, he should have been playing six games ago.
Well, and he's playing now, and we're excited to see it. And we see that explosiveness that you knew was there. And you got a couple lefties on this team. You have him and New Williams, who both can really get off the ground, can attack the rim. Jordan's a little thicker than New is. How big a difference can it make for Jordan's game to do what we saw New do last night? He's on the left wing, but he uses that offhand, the right hand, to get into the paint and gets up in the air and then finishes with the offhand at the rim. I don't know if New could do that last year, but he did that last night. How big of a difference can that make for both of those guys?
New has really gotten better. I mean, he's calmed down on offense, and he's playing slower, and he's really guarding.
Uh-huh.
The way he's guarded Malachi both times has been very impressive. And he not only is he trying hard, he's guarding smart. You know, I couldn't be more impressed with how New's trying to get better. His knee was feeling better, which was great. You know, he's been hobbling. That sucker's a warrior. He was out there the last two times, and he's hobbling around. And it didn't affect his offense much because he slowed down, and he's a shooter, and he'd end up being open. But it affected a lot of him running up and down the floor, maybe getting open. So, and Jordan, you know, it's just going to take a while. He's going to get better and better and better. You know, he's going to be able to finish. He takes off a little too far. You know, he needs to be able to find people when he gets in there also. And it's just he needs more experience, and he's going to get it. You know, he's good enough to play for us. You know, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, we'll see. That'll be up to him and how well he plays and how he adjusts. But he definitely brings a dynamic that we don't have to our team.
And I'm curious how you handle that as a coach, because I'm sure you know going in, as you said before, you see everybody's mistakes. You know they're going to happen. It's not like you can completely eliminate them and they're never going to happen. But when you have a guy who, for lack of a better word, has that raw talent, how do you handle where to encourage, where to push back on? Because you don't want to smother that talent, right? You don't want to restrain it so he's not able to help you. So how do you deal with the mistakes you know that are going to come, or the situations where he tries to do something that in that situation just can't happen?
Yeah, I think you have to teach him, you know, when to go, which you know is going to be mistakes. He's going to go sometimes when he's not supposed to, but you want him to go. You'd rather say whoa than giddy up. Mm-hmm. So you want him to go. You want him to attack the rim, and you got to know you're going to live with a couple bad shots close to the basket. You know, we're not going to live with some bad shots out at the three. And it depends on who it is. If it's new, you're going to live with a couple shots every now and then from three. But you're not going to live with any bad shots to the basket, because we want to play to our strengths. And as a coach, if you've been around them, you know, 50 practices, 60 practices, you recognize if they're buying in and they're working on it and they're just making a mistake, or are they being stubborn? And there's no place for stubbornness in January. So, you know, that's our – are we all trying to get better? It doesn't mean we're not making mistakes, but we're not going to be stubborn in January.
You know, I want to circle back, too, to something you said a minute ago. You're talking about New Williams, your senior guard, who, by the way, over the last several games is averaging about 16 a game. I think it's the last 10 games now he's averaging. Yeah, the last 10 games he's averaging 16 a game. So he's been shooting it well once that knee has felt a little better. But you mentioned the defensive side of the ball, and he drew an assignment last night that I know I wouldn't want. I mean, I watched Malachi Flynn. And the guy he's extremely athletic, but he's so smooth. He's not forcing anything. His body control is outstanding. You can see that sometimes he baits guys into situations by backing off and then accelerating. When's the last time you saw an opposing guard with that kind of all-around game that really had the poise and the presence that he brings to San Diego State?
You know, Deshaun Taylor was, you know, is a different level. It's a different type of guard, but the same confidence, the same effect on the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both winners in different ways. You know, Malachi's a little smoother. Deshaun was a little tougher. But they're both high competitors. You know, they both will their teams to win. Mm-hmm. They're both very experienced, which comes to also. They both took their lumps a little bit early and learned from them and got better. You know, Xavier Thames is another guy at San Diego State that reminds me a little bit of Malachi, who was a big guard who can score it and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he had his best year as a fifth-year senior also. So, you know, good players. You know, we're going to have a few of those ourselves if they can hang around for another year or so.
Well, that's the truth. Man, the amount of freshman talent and young talent on this Bulldog basketball team is really something. And they continue to work. They're playing Saturday at 3 against the Wyoming Cowboys. We've got a few more questions coming in from the crowd here, but let's get a quick thought about that game Saturday. You've been to Laramie before. Absent the talent on the other team and the personnel you're up against, what goes into – you've been doing this a long time. You've had charter flights there. You've had commercial flights there. What goes into a successful trip to 7,000 feet where you bring a win back home to the Valley?
As far as travel, they say you got to get in and get out. You know, the longer you stay, the more the altitude affects you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want you, you know, people used to, I used to have friends that coached there, and they said the people that tried to fly in early to get used to it, it was worse. So you want to get in and get out. So that's, you know, if you ask five different people, maybe you'll hear three different things, but that's what I'm rolling with. Because those guys worked there, so they actually coached there, so I went with them. That fatigue that makes cowards out of us all, and a toughness factor for our young guys going in there tomorrow. New doesn't get tired, so I'm not too much worried about New. You know, but, you know, the fatigue, boy, you're talking about mistakes happen that normally don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to push through, you know, the first breath when you're not feeling good and recognize you're going to catch your second breath, and hopefully at that point in time you're not down too much. Then you settle into your game, and usually the best team wins at that point in time. But if you go in and get down too much early, which happens a lot because you don't make some shots. It's a long travel. You know, you get tired. You're not getting those loose balls that you normally get. I was watching film today, and we watched the team play great defense. It was actually San Diego State, and it bounced around. And Wyoming got it and shot it, bounced around. We said, well, there's the altitude right there. They hadn't kicked in yet. Mm-hmm. You know, so you want to maybe play a few more guys? You want to try to maybe play for a few more guys, especially if you see them fatigued? You got to kind of have to look around. You know, it always comes down to you better make some shots, too.
You know, that helps.
It always comes down to that, you know. We had some shots last night that versus a really good team, a very good defensive team, but there were some times you figure you're going to have to make a few of those.
Yeah, there were a lot of almost moments in that game.
Right.
And we talked about Noah Blackwell earlier. The other one that comes to mind is he throws a lob to Jordan Campbell.
Right.
I mean, if it's perfectly on target, that's one of those electricity plays that lights the arena on fire, but it's an inch behind him and it doesn't go down.
That was two layups in a row, you know, that one and the one before Jordan got there. And we've had a few good looks. So if you're going to beat that team with where we are, you're going to have to make a few of those looks. That's just the bottom line.
And when it comes to making shots in Laramie, New Williams did a lot of that last year. He scored 24,
yes,
which was then a career high. Of course, maybe you saw him put in 32 at the Save Mart Center and tie a school record with 10 threes against San Jose State a couple weeks back. The Dogs are headed to Laramie, but before they leave, Coach Hudson's here tonight till 7 o'clock, and we're giving away tickets. Head on over to the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village and keep it on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Justin Hudson Show flying right along here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. That fire looks awfully comfy in the corner. Everybody's having a good time. See a lot of good food out there. That is a big burger next to those onion rings over there. Having a great time at the Elbow Room as always. We're here till 7 o'clock. That's when we give away tickets to the next Bulldog home game. That'll be Heroes Night against Boise State on January 25th. When if you're in a fire department, a police department, you're an EMT, a paramedic, or of course, served in any branches of our armed forces, you have a special ticket price that day on January 25th, Heroes Night, just $5 to watch the Bulldogs and the Broncos in the only meeting between Fresno State and Boise State this year. The next opponent for Coach Hudson's Bulldogs, however, the Wyoming Cowboys, who lost a heartbreaker yesterday in Reno. They took the lead with 15 seconds left over Nevada, only to have the Wolfpack steal it back with a bucket with less than 10 seconds left. And so Wyoming is still winless in conference. Just what you need, right, Coach? A team that's really desperate and hungry to get that first conference win?
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, they were going to be ready for us whether they won that game last night or lost that game, to tell you the truth. And then we were going to have to take that long travel to Laramie and play a team that's had a lot of close games up there. They've had some heartbreakers up there. And I looked at their roster and I said, wow, freshman, sophomore, freshman.
Yeah.
Very similar. They got some young guys. They got a couple seniors that are trying to lead them. You know, a couple returners. You know, so it's going to be a battle whoever you are going up there, especially for us when we're playing so inconsistent at times where we have great halves and then a bad 10-minute stretch or 4-minute stretch like you're leading. When you're on the road, you're going to have to really minimize those if you're going to win no matter where you're going in the Mountain West.
Yeah, if you allow the other team to get momentum, it may get over in a hurry. With Wyoming's personnel, you talk about the age factor and how relatively inexperienced the Cowboys are as well. There's a guy who I think he played against you in one of the games last year, but not the other one. He got hurt last year, Hunter Maldonado, coming on really strong this year for Wyoming. What's changed in his game that's made him so dangerous and consistently productive for Allen Edwards Club?
Well, he's the man, and he's being comfortable. You know, they're running things through him, very similar to New Williams. I mean, we think this would have happened a little earlier for New if he wouldn't have had that back injury. I mean, he's a senior. He worked really hard. He came to get better, and he's talented, and you know, he played just enough last year to wet his whistle, and now it was New's chance to be the man. And now that he's been healthy out there for a little while, you're starting to see him play better and more consistent. And I think that's what Hunter Maldonado is doing. It's just his turn.
We've got some questions coming in on Twitter. Boy, Kenton is having a whole bunch of fun throwing these questions out here. But here's one from Alex, who couldn't be here tonight, but he still wanted to send his question. You're going to enjoy this one, I think. He said, using that hashtag AskHut on Twitter, how is recruiting easier or harder now than it was 5 to 10 years ago? Is it different?
Man, it's way different. it's what I'm trying to tell. It's what I'm trying to tell a lot of people I work with. It's a lot different. Times change, and it's my job to stay on top of that, right? I mean, they hired me to stay on top of that. So back when we were recruiting transfers at San Diego State, they had a stigma to them. Oh, what happened? They were something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now transfers go to Kentucky. They go to Duke. They transfer to UCLA. Now you have this fifth-year transfer. And everybody wants to be old. So you can go get a guy who has proven numbers, who has done it, who's been there, who's experienced, who's not scared of it, who's confident, knows the work ethics, been coached before, been through those mistakes. So now those guys are transferring up. They're going too high a lot of times.
Right.
They're saying, wow, that guy left there and he went to Duke. Mm-hmm. You know, but Duke's saying, well, I'd rather have this fifth-year guy come in and be the sixth or seventh or eighth man because we can count on him. He's been there, then go get another freshman, and he's going to get mad if he doesn't play, and then we got to teach him, and then he leaves. So everybody wants to get older. So we got to be allowed to get older. That's how it's changed. And when I first was at San Diego State, the Pac-12 didn't recruit the West Coast a lot. You know, Oregon was a Midwest school.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State was kind of all over the place. USC recruited nationally. You know, UCLA recruited the West. You know, Cal was all over the place. And at that point in time, that's when we got really good there, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then got really good at UNLV for a year or two. The staffs kind of changed over. And I think everybody on the West realizes you got to recruit Southern California. You got to recruit Northern California. There's a lot of good players. There's always some sleepers. Where, you know, this day and age, we probably wouldn't have been able to pull a Kawhi out of L.A. Because
mm-hmm.
it would have probably, you know, especially with social media now. It was just going on back then. So I could sneak into a gym, you know, watch a guy, tell him how much we love him, go back and see him the next week, watch a guy, nobody said anything. Now if we walk in a gym, they say, Coach Hudson was here, great, take a picture with me, hashtag. So now every other coach looks and says, wow, well, those guys down there do it pretty well. We respect them. Let me go down there and see him. So there's no secrets. There's no sleepers anymore, right? That's just the bottom line. You know, unless you're getting them from overseas somewhere or some guy didn't play AAU basketball, you know, everybody's putting that you went and saw him on the internet. And sometimes there's times I go in there and I say, don't put me on the internet. And I tell them, I say, hey.
Tell them why.
I want to see, you need to see who really likes you for you. Not because we came in and we offered you. Are you just, because they ask, are you offering? I'm like, well, are you committing? You know, and are you just trying to collect offers and put it on the internet and do the social media Antonio Brown thing? Or are you really interested in if we want you or not?
Mm-hmm.
And because once we offer, it's just how it goes. It doesn't mean the other ones are real. But now you may offer at another school just to say, okay, yeah, we offered. And if you don't want that kid, then they probably just don't follow up as much anymore. But they're playing a game, and those 18-year-old kids don't understand it. And a lot of times the parents don't understand it because they just want the attention. They love the attention. Everybody, you know, I'm a parent also. So who's going to tell you that it's not true? So it's changed quite a bit since I've been in it for 15 years. It's really different.
Well, I've got a question about the transfer piece of that, but we need to take another break, so we'll get to that when we come back. We're talking to Coach Justin Hudson here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. It just brought us out a couple mugs of that fresh Illy coffee. It's fantastic. You probably don't come to the Elbow Room for coffee, but try it sometime. It's outstanding. We're back after this on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The Coach Justin Hudson Show here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. We're here till 7 o'clock, and that's when we're giving away tickets to the next Bulldog home game. The Dogs host Boise State January 25th. One of the specials you can take advantage of, by the way, when you look toward the rest of the home schedule, if you go to GoBulldogs.com, you can read all about it. But they have that three-game flex plan available. Starts at just $39, $30 for youth. And if you look at the rest of the home games, you can pick three of those and get three games for just $39 or $30 for a youth ticket. Don't forget, students always get in free, and students can always get a guest in free. And that was noticeable last night, Coach. The student section at the Save Mart Center, I saw a couple Bulldog football players up there cheering, and the student section was packed and loud and into it.
Now we're cooking. Now it can't just be when the seventh-ranked team comes into town. It's not right. We beat New Mexico twice last year, and their place is always packed. We beat San Diego State twice last year. Their place was always packed.
Mm-hmm.
We have more wins than them. Their place is always packed. So it, either you're coming or you're not. And I love the way that student section was. It was absolutely awesome. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting in touch with those group again and seeing what we can do as a program to encourage that, because we really appreciate it. And that atmosphere was really nice. And thank you to that group.
All right. You heard it, students. He said thanks for coming. And come next time, January 25th against Boise State. Student tickets are free, and any Bulldog student can get a friend in free as well. We have quite a few more questions to work through here from the fans here at the Elbow Room and on Twitter with that hashtag AskCut. But I want to finish the conversation about recruiting. One of those Twitter questions from Alex was about how recruiting's changed in the last 5 to 10 years, and you brought up the transfer element. Now you have basically three kinds of transfers. You have a guy who will sit out an entire year and then join your program. You have a guy who transfers in the middle of the year and then sits out that second semester and the first semester of the next year. Or you have those guys who've earned an undergraduate degree and they can come over and play right away without sitting out at all. Last night you faced an Aztec team that had a sign and sit in Malachi Flynn and two of the grad transfer varieties in Wetzel and Fagan, all in their starting lineup. What, and if those are desirable to you, you said everybody wants to be old. If you want to have part of your roster composed with those grad transfer kind of guys or even the sign and sit guys, what do you need to do to make your program attractive to those guys? Is it different from, say, recruiting a high school athlete when it comes to the transfer player?
You know, those things, a lot of those things for us at Fresno State is going to be about relationships, you know, because they're in such demand.
Right.
You know, the big kid from, we were actually involved, Tim was, and me a little bit, in recruiting Malachi. We did that right before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Fagan, you know, he was a 16-point scorer at Santa Clara.
Right.
From Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Fifth-year experience. You know, he chose San Diego State because of success, close to home, weather, coaching staff's good. You know, Yanni, he came from Vanderbilt, and he had a lot of good offers. A lot of good offers. He was very in high demand.
Mm-hmm.
He went surfing on his visit, and he saw that he was going to play right away. And usually those guys are a little smarter. They've been through it, and they go for the right reasons. A lot of times they go because they see opportunity. They see where they're going to be happy. So those fifth-year guys, you know, we've recruited one who wanted, he was from here. So he wanted to be home,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're making those decisions for the right reasons if they're grad transfers. You know, the sign-and-sit guys, you never know. I mean, they just make so many mistakes. Sometimes they make the mistake the first time and they chose it for the wrong reasons, and then they do the same thing the second time because it had to be the coach's fault. And, you know, they don't go for opportunity and who's on the roster and who really wants them and who cares about them the most, you know, and who needs them. Everybody's going to say the right things. And nowadays those waivers come into play,
mm-hmm.
right? So if there's so many waivers in there, you never know who's going to get one.
And what he means by a waiver is you thought he was a sign-and-sit guy, and all of a sudden he gets a waiver, he's eligible now, which is a game changer.
Donnie Tillman.
UNLV.
Mm-hmm. You know, so he's playing right away. So those things, you know, they're leaving it up for grabs now, who's getting the waiver and why, and you don't know why this person gets one. You don't know why. It's not very transparent, so it doesn't mean anything's done wrong, but there's no transparency. So as a coach, you just have to look and say, oh, he can't play? Oh, dang, I'm playing against him, but you really can't see the waiver. So
right.
You really don't know why somebody's able to transfer and play right away. Now, they have some protocol, but it's still very subjective.
Well, I do smell an opportunity, though, when you mentioned that Yanni Wetzel went surfing on his visit to San Diego State. I mean, here in the Valley, we're all in this together. Last night was Pride of the Valley night. We talk about how
it
the
was a great night last night.
Wasn't it? Well, you know, we have Kelly Slater's surf ranch right down the road in Lemoore. So that needs to be a stop on the official visits.
As long
from
as
now
it's
on.
30 minutes within, I can't go farther than 30 miles. That's, I think it's 30 miles. You can't go much farther. It's illegal. You can't take them 30 miles off campus.
Well, is it as the crow flies or? It would be close. That would be a nice partnership. Let's get through some more of the questions that these great Bulldog fans have brought to the table tonight here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. I don't know if you want to take this one on or not, but Julia says, in your opinion, who do you think will first dethrone San Diego? I think she just means who's going to beat San Diego State. They could go unbeaten in conference play. I mean, they're 7-0. Julia's convinced they're going to lose somewhere. I mean, there are a lot of variables, aren't they?
Let me guess. Let me see here. And I usually I don't even like look past one game.
You're
so
thinking
it's hard
about
for me
Wyoming
to remember Saturday. Who's in the conference, who's gonna who's played where do they have to go?
Right.
You know,
right.
I think we'll probably be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that atmosphere down there pulls you through a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it helps your defense, and they're already a good defensive team. So when you're already a good defensive team, it stops runs and it extends runs is what it does.
Their home court advantage.
I was there firsthand for 10 years, and that 6-8-0 run that you have, that crowd makes it a 13-0 run. You know, and when that other team hits a couple shots and they're going on that 5-6-0 run, that crowd gets behind you and it helps. You know, so I would bet it's going to be on the road.
All right. We'll stay tuned and see when and if it happens. Right now the Aztecs are 18-0, and you know where they're ranked. We talked plenty about it last night. Here's a question from Elliot. You were just talking to Elliot a minute ago. He was screaming his lungs out in that student section last night. And he says a lot of people ask what you need to do to get more fans in the Save Mart Center. But he says, but what can we do as fans to get more people in the Save Mart Center? You got any ideas on that?
Now, I don't want to sound like Jeff. When Jeff said he wasn't a marketer, he said something like that before. You know, it's – but I don't know much about it. I mean, I'm on campus. I'm in the community. You know, going to myself first, I'm never going to go to somebody else. I know that's not answering the question right away, but – went to the frat houses, the sorority house, you know, we've been on campus, went to the band, went, you know, dog days at first, you know, trying to be out there. You know, it's easy to say if you win 18 in a row, I'm sure it'll be packed out.
You'd hope.
You know, but, you know, far as anybody else, bring a friend, I guess. You know, find out what the issues are. You know, let's move down to the middle again, because we need to start it in the middle. Everybody move down to the middle and do it. Let's start it there and bring a friend and, you know, give suggestions. Sometimes they're out in the community. The people are out in the community, they have problems that we don't even know about. Maybe they didn't like this or they didn't like that. They want to do this more. This would help. So maybe we need to set up a hotline where people can give suggestions. It's hard for me to talk at somebody and tell them what they need to do when they have their own opinion on why they want to come or don't come. Are the prices too high? Are their seats right? Do they like the parking? You know, do they not like the style of play? I mean, what is it? Are they just too much to do?
Well, I do think there's one little element that we forget about because, I mean, you're thinking about basketball every day. I know when we're going to be on the air. People listening to our station are hearing advertisements for the games. But people are busy. They've got a lot going on in their lives. And sometimes if you're a Bulldog fan and you're tuned into it, you may assume that other people know there's a game when they really don't.
Right.
So I would say don't be afraid to mention it to your friends and remind them. It's not like they're going to get mad at you for telling them there's a game and inviting them to go, especially if you're a Bulldog student when you can get them in for free also.
The one thing I think with this young team that we have, you know, and you're talking about trying to get momentum, and momentum's not easy to get. I think if we got more people in, I think they'll come back. I think, you know, I think it'd be familiar to say, oh, he's back. Hey, he's back, and if we're out in the community a little bit more in the spring, when mm-hmm. we can, they're a little busy now in the spring and summer, maybe at the mall, maybe at high schools, maybe or we can't go to high schools, but maybe, you know, elementary schools or any function, and they get to know the guys. They want a connection with the guys, not just with the head coach. I'm doing everything.
Right.
I'm out everywhere.
Right.
You know, okay, that guy's okay, but, you know, getting to meet the guys, and then if we can get them in there, whatever we need to do to get them in there and make it convenient to get them in there, and I think they'll like the guys.
You have a likable
like
group
team.
Of guys. And I can tell you that any second grader that watches New Williams or Jordan Campbell, one of these guys, fly off the ground and throw down a dunk on the school playground is going to remember that.
Absolutely.
They're going to have something to look up to. Or they may just say, man, that guy's really tall when his son or lad shows up, right? They'll remember that too. You probably do that sometimes yourself. I know I do. We're up against another break here at the Elbow Room. We've got another 10 minutes or so. If you've got some pressing hot questions for the coach, fire away here in person or on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. The Coach Justin Hutson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. Boy, the hour's flying by here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Don't forget the next home game, January 25th against Boise State. Our next Bulldog basketball broadcast this Saturday in Laramie against the Wyoming Cowboys. That's going to be a 3 o'clock tip. And, Coach, you're going to have a secret weapon for that game, by the way. My younger daughter Mallory's coming on that trip with me, so she'll be at the arena auditorium. I guess so. She probably wants to smack me with a snowball or something. But she'll be your secret weapon on Saturday afternoon.
My first trip's there, you wanted to see the snow. Now it's old hat now. Ready to get in and get out.
You just don't want it to be windy while you're there.
Oh, boy.
One of the questions that came in on Twitter, Kent asked with that hashtag AskHut. I thought it was a good question. Maybe not an easy one for you to answer because there's probably a lot of answers to it. But he said, which players from the start of the year till now, which is about the halfway point in the season, which players have improved the most since you started with game one?
From the game one, Orlando, some of the hardest workers, most talented, new. You know, and from last year, you couldn't really go from, I guess you can go from game one. He wasn't very good at Oregon, you know, but you know, then he got hurt a little bit. He played a little while, then he got hurt, then he came back, then he got hurt. But, you know, if you're talking about from junior to senior year, all around, confident, slowing down on offense, being smarter, playing hard on defense, new. Garrett Hyder, you know, don't see it a lot, but you're playing him out of position, a point guard. He hadn't played a whole lot.
Right.
You know, and for him, he's still always going to have a hard time balancing, shooting it, and passing it right now as a freshman, but it'll slow down for him, and he'll find his rhythm on that. I think those three are probably stick out to me right now. I mean, Hassan's gotten better in practice, and it's not quite good enough to get minutes over the guy that he's there, but when he gets that ball on the left block in practice, he can really score it. Now, he has a hard time getting the ball.
Right.
His timing. Mm-hmm. Posting up, having good, you know, there's a lot of things that go into play there, but he's getting better and working hard. You know, Anthony Holland is gets better every day.
He's
smart. He's a very smart player, cerebral. So the more you teach him, the more he grasps it. So there's a lot of them, you know. But usually the younger guys are the ones that are getting much better.
You know, with him, I'm glad you mentioned Anthony Holland because maybe the other guys you mentioned. It's a little more obvious. It's a little more showy when you see the improvement in their game. One thing I've noticed with him, and maybe you saw it sooner, or maybe you see it differently, you hear a lot of coaches talk about the game slowing down for somebody, and what you see is that guy responds to situations faster, right? That sounds kind of counterintuitive. But like last night, for instance, shot clock's winding down. The ball comes to him, and it's probably the quickest release of his whole career. I mean, he just immediately launches it. Boom, it goes in. It's a big shot for you guys.
Yeah, he's... You know, I don't think he came in, to tell you the truth, to be honest, expecting to play so many minutes. You know, and with some of the things that have happened and then the injuries and different things like that. And then he's very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
And he's consistent. He brings it every day. So, you know, he's a great defender. He's a really good rebounder. And he can make an open shot. He's better than he thinks he is. So as mm-hmm. the game starts to slow down a little bit more, you'll see more from that. Because he can do more than he does. He defers a lot,
yeah.
which is okay, but he doesn't defer on the defensive end. He fights to go get rebounds. He talks. He communicates. He fixes a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems that go out there that he fixes by talking and communicating and doing different things that really go unnoticed if you're not watching. Or sometimes you go back and watch on the film and say, mm-hmm. wow, he solved that problem. There was a problem there. He solved that one. So he's going to get better and better.
Took a big charge last night, too. And the one thing it seems to me, anyway, is that there's never a situation or a moment that's too big for him. You never see him out there panicking or looking like he doesn't know what to do.
He plays better at the end of the games, and that's what those young guys do. If you see it, you know, I think they understand that we know. They're except for Orlando, a lot of natural reaction is to defer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't at the end of the game, right? So
right.
When you look at Jared at the end of the game saying, okay, well, I have to make this or we're going to win, or I have to take this shot, or we're not going to. Then he makes the right play.
Mm-hmm.
You see Anthony Holland make big threes in the corner in big games, you know, when it's like, well, this is my turn to shoot this when it's time to win. It's easier for them to defer early in the game. And that's when you see sometimes they get stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, wow, then we get a shot clock violation. And you say, well, what happened? Well, there were some times where we're supposed to be aggressive and maybe we weren't quite as aggressive. You know, and then you don't want to overcorrect and tell them, hey, you need to shoot that, because now they'll go down and shoot it no matter what. I think you just watch on film during that and say, hey, we want you to play aggressive and play your game. But I think you see them making better decisions at the end of the games because they're focused in more, and they know if they're supposed to shoot it, they shoot it. If they're supposed to pass, they pass it. Sometimes early on, they just want to move it to New. They want to move it to Noah. They want to get it to Nate, right? They just want to move the ball and get it to the guy who's a little bit more dominant.
We've seen it. We've got a little more than a minute left in the show here. I'm curious if you think about the rest of the regular season. You've got 12 games left, all conference games. What looks like success to you? Where's the target set for your team? What are you in pursuit of?
It's a hard question.
Sorry.
We got to keep everybody who's out there right now. That's the bottom line.
Keep them healthy.
Yeah, if we're going to have any success, going forward, it's going to have to be that group that you watched last night getting healthy, along with a couple guys that were sitting out. And it doesn't mean those other guys aren't going to play, but that was the core group that you're going to watch. And then we got a couple guys. We got Niven that's been out. We got AG who's out. So it's going to have to be that group. So we're going to have to mandate that we stay healthy, because now if we stay healthy and that group can play together, they'll get a little bit more comfortable together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been – that's two games now that they've played, at Utah State and there, where you have all three seniors out there, and you count Noah. He played 19 minutes. He was a shell of himself, but he's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be that group. We're going to stick with what I told the guys, because I don't lie to them. We're going to be tough to beat come February, because at that point in time, all these guys would have played on the road. We played a really tough schedule early in conference at Utah State, at San Diego State, San Diego State at home, at New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Those are the places that are tough. We're starting to have our character where I can count on that we're going to play hard, and I'm tough to please on that. And, you always go in wondering if, okay, are we going to be down today? Mm-hmm. Are the freshmen going to act like freshmen today, or are they going to continue to grow up? And I'm just proud of how they're growing up, and the seniors are trying to lead, led by New Williams. But they're trying to lead, and they're staying happy, and they're coming ready to practice every day. So I'm just going to stick till February, unless it'd be tough to beat in February, and see where we're at.
February is 16 days away, and there's still some games in January. The Dogs are going to do their best in starting Saturday at 3 against Wyoming. He's Coach Justin Hudson. We're out of time. Thanks for listening on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
This has been the Justin Hudson Coaches Show, brought to you by A-Plus Signs, California Business Machines, by Doghouse Grill, by Fresno Rack and Shelving, by Mega Prince, Suncrest Bank, and by United Security Bank. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bulldog Sports Network.